Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. I bet you get 30, 30, I bet you get 30, I bet you get 20, 20, 20, I bet you get 20, 20, I bet you get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month, sold.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Real Spoilers, powered by ReviewSTL.com.
Warning, the following film discussion will ruin the ending of any movie you haven't seen. Example, Bruce Willis is dead at the end of The Sixth Sense. See how I ruined it for you? Just like that. Here are a few more.
Silent breed is people!
I am the father.
Get it?
TalkSTL.com, Real Spoilers. You've been warned.
Broadcasting from the lush but not lavish studios located in the basement of the O'Keefe Institute for Advanced Film Snarkitude, this is Real Spoilers, episode 352. No box office report this week. You get a twofer.
That's right.
Here's your first of the twofers, I, Tanya.
I, Tanya.
So before we dig in, let's go around the table and everyone can introduce themselves.
I am not Tanya. This is Dan.
This would make a very interesting podcast.
That'd be quite the coup for our guests.
I am awesome. Not Nancy Kerrigan. Yeah. This is Joe.
And I am not Dorothy Hamill.
Oh, very good. Wow. Yeah. Sana Bayul, you could go there.
All I know is the sports my parents made me watch when I was a kid.
Was figure skating?
Well, I mean, she was the Olympics.
That's true.
She was the Olympics.
Yeah.
It's funny. There's a
And Mark Spitz in the summer.
He probably does in the winter, too.
Never mind. I got it.
Okay.
There was no Maraca shake, so I was going to let it go.
I was just like.
It's funny. There's a scene later.
A head shake. There's
a vigorous head shake. Yeah,
there's a scene later in late night, Tanya, where they're watching the Olympics and like he's like, what's he doing? He's like.
I think he's commentating, isn't he?
No, there's a scene where he's like, was he like renting a car or paying for a hotel room and it's on the TV?
Oh, Jeff
DeLuley? Yeah, and then there's a scene, and then she's at the diner and it's on the TV. And I was thinking, like, people today, like kids, younger people, are probably like, oh, that's so fake. And it's like, it's not fake.
No, it's not fake.
Back then, like, you only had three channels, and so when the Olympics were on, it was like everybody's just, we watch the Olympics
and
now.
That was before they were on. I feel like now they go from like 6 a.m. to 3 a.m.
Yeah,
like they're just like whatever event is going on that day. They're like, no, we got to put it on TV. Like,
They're still trying to. It's like they're still, especially with multiple channels and streaming.
Sure.
And
it's on Hulu this
live,
year.
Real live into access and news and stuff like that. I think they're still, like, I think the networks are still trying to figure out, well, NBC. Because, like, are they the Olympics in perpetuity?
Or? No, I don't think, but they bought, they paid for it for a long time, yeah.
Well, I think they're, but, you know, after the pink eye thing, I don't know. Like, they had to be thinking, like, oh, this is a bum deal. is he going to be on, is he on every day?
Is he on all the time? What happened to his face? Get him off TV.
But, you know, I think they're still trying to get a grip on like how to handle how they the content.
Yeah, because I think back then
there were less sports too,
and you could time shift, and nobody would say anything because if there was some sort of match at 3 a.m. our time, they could take it, they could edit it together, they could air it at 7 o'clock, they could move it to prime time, and there was no real way to find out what had happened for the average consumer.
Nope.
Where these days,
you don't get it. I mean, we were getting notifications from Lilyhammer saying, aha,
right,
you know.
So, like, they could
fake news,
they could keep that stuff in the can, and I think if there was and if there was something particularly dramatic in a sport they wouldn't normally air, then they would show that one.
Yeah, the U.S. beating the Russians is a prime example.
Well,
of that.
They would have shown the hockey that match.
I don't know.
They would have
probably back then. That's true.
They would have shown that game no matter
that's
what.
True.
But so you can't get away with that now because half the people are like, well, I don't want to watch it till I get home. And then the other half are like, how dare you?
Don't mm-hmm. take it off TV.
Yeah. And then if it's a woman's sport, then you have that, those politics involved of like, you're burying women's sports.
The,
and
women's,
like,
the women's curling has now gotten a primetime yeah. spot.
Where I always thought it was a shame that they focus on women's curling, but not women's flat iron.
Or straightening. Easy.
Easy. Just loosen it up. Liver it up.
Where'd you think I was going with that?
You know,
it wasn't filthy. It was just straight up misogyny.
Okay.
There's a difference.
I know.
But misogyny doesn't deserve a maraca from Dan.
Well, because then I would.
The maraca-er has
Dan,
become the maraca.
Dan would be so. I would be so tired sitting next to you. I'd be like, oh, I got to switch. Try the other arm.
Makes it feel like somebody else is doing
it. I'd just have to tape them to like my arms. I wouldn't even have to hold them.
Just tape them to the side of your head.
Edward so Maraca hands.
Yeah.
That's what we'll call it.
Edward Maraca hands. Trademark Real Spoilers. Yeah.
So, shameless plugs. Don't forget we're available on iTunes. You can go there, rate, review, subscribe. We greatly appreciate it. It helps us tremendously. That's why we whore out for it every week. So people who were kind enough to share the show this week, Librarian Cynthia, Chris James, Lane LeVanway, Travis Tewitt, Griffin Fox Smith, Tammy Sherman Powers, Timmy Two Zunes, Chris Magic Man, Jason Weesey, Brandon Coleman, Brent Smith, Chris Sanders, Richard Lawson, Dustin at Nerds at Night Gaming, Breaking Politico.
What is that?
I don't know. It's a podcast of some sort.
Thank you.
Hopefully it's not some sort of weird.
I know, dang it.
And when I hear politics, I'm like, oh dear, what did I just plug? And Julianne Jordan. So thank you very much for doing that. And if you would like to join the League of Show Sharers, the official League of Show Sharers, then what you can do is go to facebook.com/realspoilers, join the group, share the show. It's just that simple.
That's not
that no. simple. So I guess there's all that house cleaning out of the way.
Yeah.
We can now turn our eyes to Tanya Harding.
So this is like one of the first quote unquote scandals that I remember watching unfold live. So, I mean, Lilyhammer, or that was what, 94? Okay, so yeah, that makes sense. So I was like 94, yeah. So I was like 10. Mm-hmm. When this is going on. And there weren't like
enough out of you.
Sorry. Actually, I was probably 12. But there was nothing like, I feel like in those 12 years of my life, obviously I wasn't watching TV. I didn't care about scandals from like birth to 5 or 7.
So you really got excited about scandals around 7?
7 is kind of when
it was the juicy one.
Oh, buddy. Yeah. You know, like Watergate was over. You know, the president was Reagan at that point. Like, it wasn't that. No, wait, it was Bush.
I have reason to believe that they switched the voices on Bert and Ernie.
<That's right. laughs> I think, why are those two men sleeping in the same bed? Or I guess they didn't sleep in the same bed. They slept in the same room.
Room.
Yeah.
They had twin beds.
Like Lucy and Desi.
Right.
Yeah.
Fred and Wilma.
That's right. This was also, I feel like for me, the first time that there was like 24-hour coverage over this thing. Like, it was a big deal because they thought Nancy Kerrigan was going to be it. Like, she was going to be the face of figure skating, the face of the United States for figure skating. She was going to, you know, nobody saw Oksana Bayul or is it Katarina Witt? Is that the other one? Like, nobody talked about them.
Right.
And then all of a sudden she's coming off the ice and she's clubbed in the knee and the dude runs away and it's like this huge deal. And so this story fascinates me more than it has any right to. Like, there's a great ESPN 30 for 30 on it. Did I ruin your video recovery?
No. Oh, no, good. No, okay. No, no.
That's fantastic. Yeah. Like, they actually interview Tanya Harding. Mm-hmm. And it's tough because I did read somewhere that Nancy Kerrigan has said, who never has said a word. Like, she's kept her mouth shut about this whole thing. She's never really gotten into it. I think somewhere there was a quote where she was like, let's not forget who the victim was in this whole thing. And I was like, yeah, that's fair. Like, you don't really talk about you because you've walked away. Like, you stayed out of the limelight.
She got a medal.
What's that?
She got a medal.
She did. She got silver. That's true. Mm-hmm.
And I think a lot of people felt like...
That doesn't justify it.
No, yeah. Sure,
I
just mean sure.
And I think a lot of people felt like that medal was a bit of a gift. That
I could see that.
That her performance wasn't quite where it needed to be.
Yeah.
But
I always felt like they gave Baul the gold because of what happened.
It was just easier to not weigh in.
Correct. Like if neither one of them win,
have perceived to weigh in.
Correct. Correct.
I think it's also it's easy to not have a lot of sympathy for Nancy Kerrigan.
Also true.
She's not the most sympathetic person.
She does not come off on TV. She comes off as like the princess.
Right.
Well,
off as everything Tonya Harding hates about.
Yes. Her. Right. And off the ice. Yeah. She has been. And I think it's kind of notorious at this point that she is not easy to deal with.
Well, and I think, and I don't think everybody was aware of it enough, but there was a lot of media manipulation.
Yeah. Sure.
A shocker.
Yeah.
They found that the story became, you know, the princess and the evil stepsister.
Sure.
And it was packaged. I mean, I distinctly remember hearing Nancy Kerrigan referred to as kind of like a princess.
Yeah.
Right.
Oh, yeah.
So, you know, as things came to light, it was sort of like, you know, they were cast into roles.
Right.
And they played their roles.
You know, and they don't, they sort of played their roles, but Nancy Kerrigan was also elevated to a role. It was like, she was never a princess.
Right.
But suddenly she was this innocent. And it's like somebody runs up and
clubs you in the leg. But also there's that scene. There's that footage. You can find it anywhere of her laying there on the ground, clutching her. Yeah. Why? Like that's.
Oh, that was 24/7.
Yeah. All the time.
And I think I personally had a visceral reaction to that. Like,
right,
even though this horrible thing had happened to her, I instantly didn't have sympathy for her. Like, it was like,
interesting.
Like, just like, I get being it, but the why aspect was just like, that just seems a little narcissistic.
I always felt, I was like, it seems a bit disingenuous.
Yeah. Yeah. Like,
know.
Something about
like,
it didn't.
I
like,
get it. I
felt
get that.
Like it was a little too much.
Over the top.
Over the top.
Yeah. Yeah.
I mean, I'm not saying she wasn't in pain. Most people would just be like, ooh,
like Peter Griffin,
or they would just be swearing up a storm. So I was just like, I just felt like I'm like that doesn't seem.
I think what seemed weird to me was that like, so this just complete random thing, and I mean it was from her perspective.
Yeah.
Like I'm not trying to create some conspiracy theory. That's not where I'm going.
Right.
But this complete random thing happens to you, like you're just walking, you're bopping along in your day. Bop-a-doo. Mm-hmm. That's the noise I make when I bop along.
It's an interesting bop along sound.
That's what's going on in my head. Mm-hmm. And explains a lot.
I literally go, doot, 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 doot.
And then all of a sudden, someone comes up from behind you.
Not in front of her.
Yeah.
I thought he was like,
passing.
He hits her in like the kneecap.
Yeah.
I walk past and then circles around her.
Right. And then now you're on the ground.
And she is a victim. She's absolutely a victim.
Absolutely.
In immense pain. Right.
Yeah.
You don't know if you're Olympic.
But I guess I think that's the part that sits weird for me, that in that moment when your body is in pain, you're in shock, that she instantly connected the dots to be and turn it into like,
her
why me?
Olympic dreams. Yes.
Like that's
I see that.
Like that's
I see
so instantaneous.
Sure, sure.
Now, I also can see the argument of like, well, but that's consumes her every waking hour.
Yeah. Right,
for the entirety of her life.
Right.
You know, so I mean, they probably.
I think they're on. I mean, from what I understand, those guys, the athletes that are training 24/7.
Oh, yeah,
like that's there's another like Foxcatcher.
Son of a.
No, like those guys. They the reason the Americans were losing constantly to the Russians or whoever is because the Russians were being paid to train, where the Americans were like, oh, I have to work by 9 to 5.
Right.
To pay for
well,
my
and she
training.
Says it in the movie, like third, you know, third place, you know, you medal, you get endorsements. Fourth
right.
place, it's the 6 a.m. shift.
I do
the
find
diner.
That funny that they reference the coming in fourth place at the Olympics after Molly's game.
Yeah,
well, I thought that was a very interesting tie back.
Right,
but yeah,
well, yeah, the Russians train their Olympic athletes much like they train the Black Widow.
Just in the red room.
But yeah, they yeah. just but they're all trained that way.
That's all they do.
I mean, they're all. Athletes and assassins.
Is that right?
Mm-hmm. Oh, that's why they're not going to be there this year.
That's why.
Mm-hmm. So, I'm no sports expert. I don't know if you know that or not.
That's new information.
But
you're like
I'm
Tommy
shocked.
Wiseau. I had no idea.
But from what I understand, from an American perspective,
uh-huh.
wasn't Bruce Jenner kind of the first guy that was like, I'm just going to train for the Olympics?
Oh, that's a good question.
And that's part of why he kicked ass, is because he was training in a way that nobody else was. And so he's like, I'm just going to focus on doing this. And so, like, yeah. he trained
that
his ass off
sense.
In all these categories.
And destroyed everybody.
And destroyed everybody because nobody else was training like
right.
that. Everybody else was like, oh, yeah. And, I mean, I run sometimes. So, yeah, I'll, you know, people say I'm fast. Sure, let's have a race. Oh, am I the fastest? Okay, yeah. Let me know where right. and when, and I'll be there.
Why did Jenner just lap me four
yeah.
times?
Now, I'm perhaps underselling that a smidge, but.
No.
But
that's a good point.
But that he was the first guy that was like, I'm just going to focus on this.
Right.
And if I do,
I'm going to win.
I think I got a shot here.
Yeah.
And then he came in and he just annihilated
until Michael Phelps. Like I think Jenner was the record holder for most golds
yeah.
or maybe most medals until Phelps.
Right.
And
yeah.
then Phelps destroyed that record.
Yeah.
He was like, oh, I can have them all done.
And
how many?
And Michael Phelps, I mean, a lot of people don't know this backstory. He did it while battling glaucoma.
Yeah, it's legit. I mean, he had to smoke that weed for a reason.
Right.
Yeah. I mean, you can only inhale so many carbs and so many calories,
right.
you know.
Yeah, that's how he had to do it. It was also part of his training.
Right.
He had to smoke the pot, get munchies.
Right.
So he could carb load.
Exactly.
And then
swim like a shark.
What was he like eating like 13,000 calories
insane.
A day or something?
Insane.
Yeah.
Guys. So there's at least one category where I can beat Michael Phelps.
13,000 calories?
Pussy.
Done.
Challenge accepted.
I'll see that and raise you double.
Yeah. He did that this morning.
Yeah.
So this movie, I've heard it referred to as the Goodfellas of ice skating movies, I guess, which, I mean, that comes down to the cutting edge and, you know, the cutting edge. I don't know any other ice skating movies.
The Roses.
Yeah, I can.
But
I guess I can.
It felt more
spiritually, I guess. I
it felt more like The Wolf of Wall Street, because like she breaks.
But that
the
was kind of the Goodfellas of.
That's
yeah.
fair.
Yeah.
That's
yeah.
fair.
Yeah. Well, yeah.
Do they break the fourth wall in Goodfellas? I don't think they do. In Casino, they do.
Yeah, at the very end, he does.
At the very end, he does.
Because he's now I'm just an average schmuck. And he's like, I'm stuck in suburbia, and I'm not just getting the lines right.
Is he looking at the camera?
Yes.
Yeah, he looks right at the camera.
Yes, he looks right at the camera.
There's a talk. But
maybe it's a narration, but he's looking right at the camera.
He does look at the camera.
Where in Wolf of Wall Street, you're breaking the fourth wall. In Deadpool, honestly, you're breaking the fourth wall. This
I mean, the Marx Brothers broke the fourth wall.
Mm-hmm. But nobody had done that since, you know, it's been a while since we've had a lot of looking at the audience,
yeah.
nodding and winking at the audience.
I'm trying to think. Like, I feel like it's been done, but
it's not a lot.
Yeah, it's maybe more of a TV thing that I'm thinking of because they did it a lot on Moonlighting.
Yeah. Oh, did they?
Yeah,
yeah.
They
I, felt
the
like
wall.
I always thought Moonlighting borrowed heavily from Ernie Kovacs.
Yeah,
I just watched Striking Distance because I'm an idiot.
Right.
It wasn't that bad. I was surprised at how not bad. It's not what I guess there was there another. Bruce Willis erotic thriller that came out.
Color of Night.
That's
Color of
what
Night.
I was thinking
that's
of.
An
okay.
awful movie.
Okay.
It is.
And not just because you get to see Bruce Willis's junk.
I could
yeah,
I feel like those posters are similar. So I was just like, yeah, I'm going to watch this garbage movie.
Striking Distance, that's the one with Sarah Jessica Parker on
yeah,
a boat.
Yeah, very young. So yeah. He's a cop on the water.
Yeah.
That's what it is.
And Sarah Jessica Parker's on the boat with them.
Yes.
It was like a remake of Francis Joins the Navy.
It's exactly what it was. Yeah.
Mortal Thoughts is the one you want to watch if you haven't seen that.
I have not seen that.
No,
okay.
I don't
you remember
think
that. That's the one with Demi Moore was in it.
Oh, okay.
And Bruce Willis.
Were they already a thing or is this
they were a thing, okay. But Bruce Willis plays kind of a bad guy.
Right.
It's
Mortal
it was
Thought.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
It was a
Type
pretty good
now.
One. It was one of those ones came out around the same time as all of those It was on his downward slide. Yeah.
Oh,
and it was
does
a long
he have
slide.
Hair?
He might have because
he has hair in Striking Distance.
It was a long.
It's not much.
I think he's probably got hair because he had hair until Hearts of the Sun or something.
Oh, Hearts of. I know what you're talking about. Hearts of War.
Hearts of War.
Hearts of War.
And then there was another one that had "Sun" in the title. I thought right around the same time he had because I met Bruce Willis,
the boy,
and he had shaved his head, and it was funny. So for years. When people see the picture of me and Bruce Willis, they're like, "Who's that guy?"
Oh, really?
Because he
always had hair.
Because he always had hair.
Yeah.
And then now people see it.
That's Bruce Willis.
Oh, it's Bruce Willis.
Yeah. Right. Right.
Yeah. See Mortal Thoughts, but don't read anything about it. Just watch it.
Okay, I will. So the movie is basically it's told by Tanya Harding, I feel like circa 87. Mm-hmm. Like the way that she looks in those like one shot
kitchenette.
Yeah, like it looks like the Tonya Harding that
I think that could be now.
Yeah, I think.
I guess I don't know what she...
I guess she doesn't look old enough.
That's what I was thinking.
Well, she doesn't. They definitely have her padded up.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay.
They have Margot Robbie padded
up. Yeah. And I will tell you, she's fantastic.
She's so good.
Like,
in this
it's
movie.
So... It's,
everybody in this movie
is fantastic. There isn't a weak spot in this movie, which says something because you've got some dumb characters.
Yeah.
And the one character that has become my favorite character is the bodyguard. That guy is amazing.
I knew people like this.
Oh my God. He's so wonderful. He's so like the actor himself is so funny in his line delivery. Oh my God. He's so great.
Espionage. Yeah.
But you don't
try not to make us. Yeah. It feels like this is something out of a comedy.
Yeah.
Like,
I mean,
those two interacting.
There are aspects of the movie that are very funny. And I think that's why some people are put off by it, too, because they're like, well, it's still like some like Nancy Kerrigan was assaulted.
That's honestly, that's a side note in this movie.
She really is. And some of that's her own doing. And I don't even want to say fault, but she chose not to. She doesn't want to be associated with this incident.
And I don't blame her.
And
you know, like,
I think that's probably better because I think that it allows this movie to focus.
Yeah.
Because otherwise it would have been sort of like this dramatization, and that really that would have led it to like sort of a she said she said kind of a situation,
and we've already had that.
We don't need that,
right? Like, I mean,
have
I think
we though? Because I feel like Nancy Kerrigan has never said a word,
but we've already had the movie he's talking about.
Yes,
because there was a made for TV movie. Was there more than one?
There was definitely one.
There was definitely like, one because like I know like when the Amy Fisher story broke.
Oh man, there was
which one's that?
So Amy Fisher was the
Long Island Lolita.
Long Island Lolita.
Who was the
And so
Joey Buttafuoco.
I love
my Joey.
Can I tell you,
and Joey loves me.
Like I got that garbage. Hey, Joey Buttafuoco. I was like, motherfucker. Like, sorry.
It is really close.
I know it's close.
Yeah. I hadn't even considered it until you just said it.
I get it.
You just resurrected something.
Yeah, great.
you resurrected your own meme of torment.
But for our younger listeners who might not remember the Amy Fisher incident, and it was huge.
Was this post? This, Tonya Harding or pre?
Oh man, it's
this
all,
is post.
It's okay. Post, but it was all like this is all.
No. Tonya Harding is post Amy Fisher.
Okay, so the Buttafuoco thing is what I remember that.
The other thing that happens during all of this are a current affair, and hard copy.
Yeah. I love the line in this movie where he's like
Bobby Cannavale.
He's like he's like, oh, I worked for hard copy and nobody believed us. The media hated us and then became us.
Right.
Yeah.
That's a great line.
Yeah.
Absolutely true because there was a dividing line. And this is also like post CNN and post cable
24-hour news.
So like this was that sort of shift and it's a shift in reporting. It all happened all around this time. Tonya Harding and
Amy Fisher
and Amy Fisher, which
John Wayne Bobbitt.
Yeah.
And you got to remember this is where that's the area of journalism. That's the end of the journalistic pool. Mm-hmm. That Bill O'Reilly came from.
Mm-hmm.
Bill O'Reilly.
We'll do it live.
That was recorded on one of those shows. Yeah, he was the host of A Current Affair.
If I was Sting, I would always open my show with that Bill O'Reilly thing. I'd just open it with that.
But just backing up real quick for the people that don't, for the younger listeners that might not remember Amy Fisher, so Joey Buttafuoco was probably 40, and he was dating Amy Fisher.
He was basically construction manager.
If you've ever seen Jersey Shore, he's one of their parents.
He's the original
Absolutely.
Jersey Shore.
Right. And so he was dating, I'm putting dating in air quotes, Amy Fisher when she was like, 16?
She was underage, a child.
And then Amy Fisher wanted to marry Joey Buttafuoco, and so she shows up on Joey Buttafuoco's doorstop and shoots his wife in the face.
Mm-hmm.
And the reason it became kind of tabloid fodder and ripe for jokes was because miraculously
she lived, right?
She lived. Yeah, his wife did not die. Yeah. Now I think she had some facial deformities and stuff, but for the most part, she did about as good as you can do from being shot point blank in the face.
Pretty
and
well.
So And so, and that was a huge, and all three networks, or three of the four, I guess, networks, because at that point there were four, made movies about Amy Fisher. So there, because there was like, and I mean, and they rolled out the,
it was like big guns, the checkbook. Right?
There's a Drew Barrymore one.
That one.
There's an Alyssa Milano one.
That one.
And I feel like there's a third one.
Alyssa Milano one?
Yeah. Yes. And then there was a third one.
Yeah.
And
so I think NBC, ABC, and Fox all made one.
I think
CBS
right.
held their head high.
I think I got that right.
And their ratings low.
Yeah.
Per the usual.
And the only reason I know Tanya Harding's after is because they reference Amy Fisher in the movie. Mm-hmm. If you listen carefully, I think it's when David Letterman's doing his top 10 list,
yeah.
he has a Amy Fisher reference. That's how I know Tanya Harding is.
I think she became a porn star.
Who?
Amy Fisher.
I think they all did. Tanya Harding had a sex tape.
Yeah, but I mean like a legit, like got paid to do like professional.
But yeah, because
there was a
sex tape with Tanya Harding and Jeff Galooly.
Jeff Galooly.
It was worth you when you watch the updates. Mm. You wanted to watch the NBC news talk about this just to hear Tom Brokaw try to say Jeff Galooly.
Greatest Generation.
Her husband. I'm not saying it.
Jeff
Galooly.
Jeff G.
So yeah, this movie is basically the life story of Tanya Harding. If Allison, I'm trying to think if I saw all of the movies or all of the performances for best supporting actress, and I think that I did. But if Allison Janney does not win, it is a travesty.
Well,
she was great. Holy cow,
she's always good.
Yeah,
it's so weird because my wife has been watching the show Mom with Allison Janney and
Selma Blair.
No, not Chris Pratt's wife.
Yeah,
Anna Faris.
Thank you. And she's great on that. And she's kind of the same character, but funny. Mm-hmm.
Right.
Like, she's the lovable loser. In this one, there's no point.
I think the reason you see that comic archetype so much is I think a lot of people grew up with parents like that. And then their kids become comedians, and they create funny versions of that on TV.
I think
in real life
is a prime example.
In real life, it's not so funny.
It was not funny. Yeah. But it's all we can do to not,
right.
you know, our therapy bills are what they are.
Yes.
Yeah. So yeah, it's her life basically. So she starts as a child. It's her as a child at four. Her Allison Janney,
like Bill Cosby, She started out as a child.
That's right. Aw, damn it!
I know. Now we just can't even make an innocent Bill Cosby joke.
It sucks too.
The thing that pisses me off the most is that I can't in good faith like share like Fat Albert.
Nope.
You
or
know?
Any of it.
It's,
like
I mean, it's just like contaminated.
It's awful. Piece
you
of
know,
garbage.
It is. It's like, man. Yeah. The Cosby kids.
Can you just keep it in your pants? Like, that's
who knew
Bill
that,
Cosby.
Who knew that Brown Hornet was the name of his Spanish fly?
Why don't you come over and have a Brown Hornet?
No, don't.
I got booted, Bob.
I made them myself.
It's got cream filling.
Well, nougat. I don't think that one's on.
Either way, it was a great noise. That worked good. So she takes Allison Janney takes baby Tanya on the ice, and she says like, and you can tell right away that the Tanya had skills from the jump because the woman who was in Law and Order as a Criminal Intent, she was one of the detectives on that. She was actually the second. I don't know. Did you guys watch the Law and Order? The Menendez brother one?
I did not.
It was pretty good, but she's also like the second lawyer in that.
Okay.
She's the...
Not Amy Ryan.
Amy Ryan?
Isn't that...
Yeah, I don't know, man.
No. The other lawyer was... she's the wife from The Sopranos.
No, she kind of reminded me of Amy Ryan.
If I were NBC, I would just have a Law & Order channel.
I gotta tell you.
For their content.
Criminal Intent was my favorite.
I actually
Do you remember the reality Law & Order show they had for a while?
Yeah, there's Law & Order UK.
It was really good. I wish they had kept it around. Yeah. I enjoyed that
But now
a lot.
They're trying to do like the American Crime Story version of Law & Order. So like American Crime Story did the OJ thing.
Right.
And then Law & Order True Crime did the Menendez.
Right.
And now they're coming back. Have you watched the Versace one yet?
No.
I watched the first episode.
Pretty good. I liked it. I'm in.
I know it's hard to believe because I'm such a fashion plate.
I was going to make a joke, but we're both wearing black hoodies right now.
Yeah.
So, you know.
They matter.
Yeah. So, yeah, so she introduces Tanya to this coach, and the coach is just like, look, I'm not taking on any kids. And she was just like, and, you know, she's smoking on the ice.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. She's just like, the line where she's like, you can't smoke on the ice. I'll smoke quietly.
I'll smoke quietly. Yeah. She's just so.
She's a bit rough around the edges.
Yeah.
I think she's rough around the entire thing.
Yeah.
She's rough around the edges. Also, she's all edges. Yeah.
She's all edges.
She's consist entirely of
correct,
edges.
Correct. Correct. And so I can't tell if this was Allison, like the mom's way of manipulating the coach, or if she honestly, there was a moment where she was like, just go skate. You know what I mean? Like, yeah. If she was giving it, letting baby Tanya go just skate. Like, she's mm-hmm. like, I can't keep this kid off the ice.
Right.
So just let her go. Or if she was like, go show her what you can do. You know what I mean?
I took it like that. That she's like, she knew well. She had a show pony.
Yeah. Right.
And she's just like,
she's going to ride that
she's
thing.
She's like, if you're going to tell me no, then have at it.
Yeah. And you then, know? Of course, she's out there, and at 4 years old, she's skating circles around these other kids who are out there. We flash forward to, I think.
You know, I will say this, a moment of defense of the mother.
Okay.
Okay. So you cannot say she did not believe in her child.
No.
You know?
No.
And I will also say, I think it's easy to look back and say that, like, she was like, oh, well, this kid was going to be her meal ticket.
Right.
But, like, so it's 94 when she goes to the Olympics.
Yeah.
So she's 23. So back that up to when she was 4, it would have been.
The 70s?
It would have been, like, what, 80? Mm-hmm. 79?
Oh, yeah.
So, like, having a daughter who's a really good figure skater is not your path to riches.
Right.
That's true.
It's not like having a kid that's really good at baseball where you think, oh, maybe he can. You know what I mean? Like, so the fact that
we've got one shot at this.
Right. So the fact that she poured all this time and treasure into this child on some level, I don't think there's any way she could have reasonably expected she'll go to the Olympics and get huge endorsement deals. Like, I don't even know when she began this process.
Endorsement deals were even a thing.
Were that much of a thing? I mean, no. you would have had Bruce Jenner on a mm-hmm. Wheaties box or whatever. But for the most part, not like the industry it really turned into.
What year was that? What year did Jenner get the Wheaties?
Was that like 74?
Okay, so yeah, Michael Jordan Michael Jordan had it when he was in college. I'm just trying to think of the time. Okay, that makes sense. Okay.
So I mean, I don't.
I think the mother believes that she was
gifted
and doing right.
Right.
I think the mother believes
this movie. She absolutely thinks
she is. But I think, I mean, I don't think they just like they don't play her. They don't portray her as just being vile, you know, and evil. She's unlikable.
Yeah.
And very questionable. But I don't think
they're paying the guy. Okay, badmouth your kid.
But she knows her daughter does best.
She knows the motivation.
When she's mad. And so, does it make it okay?
She's manipulative.
Yeah.
She's absolutely.
Okay.
So, what I liked about it.
Okay, let's put it this way. She's not the one who ran out there and clubbed Nancy Kerrigan.
That's true.
Yeah.
Okay.
I think
she wanted her daughter to win, but she wouldn't cross a line like that.
Right. And I think her own motivation. I think she thinks that she was doing. She was handling things for her daughter's best interest. Just she's not a good parent.
Here's the hardest part of I think writing a movie, right? So movie or stories of any kind, stories are all about conflict, right? So what do they teach you in school? There's like, you know, there's man versus nature, man versus man, man versus self. Are you ultimately all stories boil down to those three conflicts? So but the problem you have when writing a story is that I think a lot of authors forget or just choose to ignore because it's easier. That everybody's the hero of their own story.
That's
right,
true.
Right? As awful as my ex-wife is, I'm sure she's over there in her version of the story.
Oh, yeah.
Going on about
she's a victim.
What a son of a bitch I am.
Right,
and how,
right.
You know, and how the whole world just took a giant dump on her. And, like, what am I going to do? And, like, you know. And so everybody's the hero of their own story. And people do things because it works for them.
Right.
People choose things, even if they're bad decisions, because on some level, it's getting them what they want.
Right.
Right. And what I liked about this character from a storytelling standpoint, just to be clear, mm-hmm. is that you could see that her motivation. You could see what her motivation was. You could see that, like you could see that there's a version of this story where she's like, I built this kid into an Olympian.
She even says that.
I poured my time, my money, and I did some things that you might not like.
Right, right.
But, like, in her mind, what's the difference between her you poking her kid and getting her mad and then shoving her out on the ice? What's the difference between that and Mr. Miyagi making
Daniel
wax the car all day or paint the fence all day?
Yeah.
Like, it's the same story. It's just we think he's cute and adorable, and we think she's a total bitch.
Right. Yeah.
In her head.
I guess that's, yeah, that's fair. It's, also, Mr. Miyagi, I mean, he teach Daniel's son how to fight.
So did
that's true.
Tanya Harding's
that's,
mother.
That's fair. That's fair. In a different way, but yes.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. So then we flash forward to when she's about 15. And another, like, good makeup job where they do some damage with Margot Robbie's hair and they put her in braces. Mm-hmm. And I do like the subtle thing where she, when she smiles, she immediately covers up her teeth.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Like, she does it. I don't, like, obviously it's a thing that she chose to do.
Yeah.
But I thought it was really kind of adorable. Where she's like, you know, in the.
She smiles, but simultaneously, like, withdraws.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Plays she's a self conscious kid.
She's got those giant 1980s railroad track braces.
Yeah. Been there.
Me too.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And they looked just as adorable on me as they did on Joe.
Were you. Thank you. Were you able to get different color rubber bands?
No, it was the 70s.
I could.
It was the 70s, man.
Yeah, you just hear
his rubber bands were
asbestos.
You were just
like oil can.
If I had different colored rubber bands, it was out of red dye number 6.
Yeah,
whatever was that gave people cancer. That was a 6 red dye something.
Might have been 6.
I was able to choose the color of my rubber bands. But yeah. So then she's on the ice and she's skating, and this is where we meet Sebastian Stan, as Jeff Galooly. Who has moments of just absolute brilliance where he's like the dope, but then he flips it.
Yeah.
And he is an awful human being, you know? And
I like how this movie has parallel storylines of
kind of like Gone Girl.
Yeah. In a way where it's like, you don't really know. Cause his version, he's like, I didn't hit her.
Right.
I didn't
do
any of that stuff.
And she's like, and there's a scene where she fires a shotgun and she says to the camera, she's like, this never happened.
Yeah. Right. Yeah. So it's like
there's a lot of that in this movie, which I really think gives this movie like the sort of like manic energy that that makes it just pushes it over the top.
I agree.
Right.
Of being good.
Right. Because it allows the movie to tell a crazy story.
Right.
Without you going, is this true? Is this not true? Because the movie's telling you, I don't know if it's true or not.
Well, they're both unreliable. Everybody in this movie is unreliable.
Yeah. Everybody has their own dog in the fight.
Right.
And everybody's like kind of like, not kind of, everybody's, you know, embellishing the story to their own benefit.
To make themselves look better.
So, I mean, you know.
Well, and it also does sort of like, there is so much that's questionable about this. But it allows, you know, it's rather than like having two talking heads debate whether something happened.
Right.
They show it. And they literally have her break the fourth wall
and
just say, this never happened.
Right. Yeah.
And by the way, I would blow open a hole in the wall. But that's the thing that makes this movie work.
Right.
The only things that we know for sure that happened, right, are Nancy Kerrigan getting clubbed, the domestic abuse between her and between Tanya Harding and Jeff. Like, there's records. Like, you can't hide that stuff.
No.
The insane fat guy. You know, like I remember
when they show the clip at the end and it looks
so
like
good.
The rest of the movie.
God, it's insane.
Yeah.
The
and those two
dolts that club Nancy Kerrigan.
Yeah. The trying to be inconspicuous.
Sean and
Derek. Sean and Derek.
Like when he's when he can't get out and he headbutts the glass to get out of the door.
I know. And
I'm like, geez,
you have a baton in your hand. Like, why are you headbutting the glass? You have a baton in your hand.
And you know how to use it.
I also, like, when he's running away and,
you can't hit that high?
He tackles the guy.
Yeah.
And then, he crawls over them. Like, what are you doing? Get in the car.
Yeah.
We see her at 15. We see Jeff Galooly at the ice rink with Fatso.
Yeah.
And... I feel like Jeff Galooly at this point was probably in his mid to early 20s. And Tonya Harding is 15.
Yeah, he's definitely
he's a skis ball. Yeah.
And you know, the mom doesn't like him, and she's right, because it's like, here we go.
Like you're gonna get in my kid's head.
She instantly knew, like, oh, here we go.
Right.
I think because she's like, it's the same things I did.
Right. Yeah, sure.
Yeah,
sure.
She's warranted in this.
Right. So they become a thing, like they start dating, and he beats her up, mm-hmm. says he's sorry, they hook up, and she's like, okay, I believe him. And then I do like, there's a scene where Sebastian Stan is on top of Margot Robbie, and they're having sex, and like her head is like off the edge of the bed, and she's looking at the camera upside down, and the line is just like, my mom used to hit me all the time, and she loved me,
right.
So I just assumed, and it was just like, the way that is shot, It's heartbreaking.
Oh, yeah.
Because you realize how much damage is done mm-hmm. psychologically to her by her mom. And mm-hmm. then we should also say her dad. And I thought the dad leaving scene was a gut punch.
Yes.
Like that little girl destroyed that scene
mm-hmm.
because her dad is like Allison Janney has gone through husband after husband and. Finally, Tonya Harding's dad is like, I've had enough. I'm out of here. And like little Tonya is screaming at him to like, please take me with you. And, you know, I don't want to, you know, just let me come with you. And it's weird because you think that he is on her side, right? Like they're out hunting and they have this really touching scene where they're hunting a rabbit and she's just like, oh, if I'd have hit center mass, I'd have killed it. And the dad's just like, yeah, but you don't want to blow the meat all over the place. And she was like, ah, oh, fair enough. And that's a really it's a really touching scene. So you figure that we're going to see more of the dad and then you never see the dad again,
which is kind of what happened.
Yeah. Oh yeah. And like leaves little Tonya to fend for herself, in this crazy
mm-hmm.
house. So then I'm trying to think, do we flash forward again where she's like, she can't get the scores, which is, that's documented, is like she
yeah,
would
they,
outskate
they did not like her
everybody and they would not let her win,
right.
Basically.
Yeah, it's this movie does a really good job of reminding people about, you know, just figure skating as a whole is
yeah.
that generally you know, and they don't, and it's not heavy handed, but it is a rich person's game.
Sure.
It's a rich person's sport.
Absolutely.
It's a wealthy person's sport.
And because
it reminds people of that.
And because it's a judged sport, I mean, all sports are judged to a degree. But,
right. Well, the Olympics at least, yeah.
Yeah.
But there are things that, like, in a lot of sports,
I mean, like,
that can be uncontested.
Yeah. Yeah, right. Like, that's what I was going to say. Like, you could have...
That person came in first. Now, that person was also jacked up on
steroids.
Steroids.
You could have a referee who
yes.
doesn't like you, but if you score a touchdown, you
right.
scored a touchdown.
Right.
Like, there's no, you know, there's only so much influence they can
right.
have.
I love
but
that.
In an event like this...
I love that SNL skit where they're just like, and we're going to go to the Olympics that have... Like, it's the other Olympics.
The all-drug Olympics.
Yeah. Phil Hartman's going to...
Some sort of horse tranquilizer.
He's going to smash, like, the... And he pulls his own yeah. arms off. Yeah.
But I think that, you know, not to excuse the behavior
sure.
of Jeff Galluli mm-mm. and Tonya Harding, in a way, the Skating Association created this situation.
Yes,
kind of.
Like, they...
Yes.
They created a situation where no matter how good you are,
mm-hmm.
it's never good enough.
Right.
And that causes rage in people.
Yeah.
And then you could take that and apply it to, I'm going to get political for a second, but apply it to like the black community.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? I mean,
yeah. No matter how good you are.
Yeah. Like, I mean, I think there's a lot of that going on there too, where they feel
right.
like we're being judged in a way that no matter what we do, it's not good enough. And mm-hmm. and then at some point that, you know, she did take the attitude and use that as fuel to get better.
Yeah.
And then when she realized that there isn't ever going to be a better enough
mm-hmm.
for her to move past a certain point,
right.
that turned into rage,
mm-hmm.
which turned into violence.
Yep. Yeah.
And, you know, I mean, it's even
yes.
though this isn't a necessarily political or racial story, I mean, I don't think you could get
more
wider than
ice
than
ice skating.
But But I mean, I think that there's a lot of that going on. And,
yes.
It, you know, it, and it's kind of a
and
it's a similar story.
And it reminds us of that. And it also reminds us that she was really talented.
Yeah.
She had
and
the
that
skills.
Was lost to all of this other stuff.
Yeah.
Even at, you know, when it happened, people forgot. All they thought was Nancy Kerrigan good, Tonya Harding bad.
Well, they also, what
but
they.
The fact is, Tonya Harding was amazing.
Well, they even referenced that where Nancy Kerrigan kind of had that slender Barbie,
she fit the
Barbie
mold.
Style
right.
body
yes. yeah.
where Tonya Harding was a powerhouse.
She
like,
was.
She, and she was built like a powerhouse where mm-hmm. she didn't have. Maybe the small hips or the small thighs. Like,
well, they say she looks like she's been chopping wood all morning.
And,
it's like,
and I do like where she's like, yeah,
she has been chopping wood.
That's
all
another great scene where
her montage,
and then she's like, and the woman, the coach from Law and Order, turns and looks at the camera. And she's like, she did this.
She
really did this.
Like three times. She's like, she and this,
yeah,
and
she's running
this.
Through the woods with like bags of cement on her.
You know, was it dog food?
Oh, was it
because
dog food?
It was from Rocky?
Yeah.
Oh, right.
This is what Rocky did when he trained against that Russian.
Yeah.
But yeah, it was the only. She's the only American. Well, she was at that point the only American to hit like the triple Lutz. Quote. I don't know if that's right. If what it's called,
yeah.
But
triple axle.
Triple axle, and, where it's just like you have to get some serious power off of your legs to get mm-hmm. high enough in the air to get that the torque on the spin and mm-hmm. to land right. And she was the only woman, I think, that could do it.
Yeah,
and she was doing it every time and nailing it every time. And then she got in her own head and.
But she was also, I mean, you know, she came from a different background, so
yeah.
She didn't have the finances to have the wardrobe that, you
but
know,
she's making
the,
her own costumes.
The judges and... felt, you know, a figure skater needed. She didn't have the, you know, the language that the figure skater, you know,
yeah,
the judges
that,
wanted.
That scene when she skates up to the judge.
Yeah.
And she's just like, well, you don't really fit the mold. And she's just like, suck my...
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, it's.
I'd like the coach where she's just like, well, I don't know where we're going to go from here, but
yeah.
Great.
And I think in today's world, that would be a selling point for her.
Oh, where she's the.
Oh, yeah. Our standards are plummeted. She
well,
would
also,
be,
when your president runs
right.
on the same platform,
touché.
You know?
Yeah.
And I. Where he just says whatever the hell he wants. And
but, I
just
think,
like,
but I
yeah.
think.
Yeah.
She would not be the villain.
Right.
No. Nancy Kerrigan might even be the villain in 2018.
Oh, well, there would be. They would figure out. They'd dig up some dirt or something.
Yeah. Where, like, she posed for
yeah.
nude or something. You know, nudes would leak of
yes.
Nancy Kerrigan. She's like, look, she's terrible. And,
it's, you know, but it's just funny because a lot of it, to Tom's point, they, you know, they were their own, you know, they created this.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. They really did. I mean, and it's kind of the, you know, as the CAA would term it, blowback or the law of unintended consequences. But
yeah.
that you know they were like, we have to keep this pure, and
right.
she's not pure.
She's not,
and
she's this blue collar,
yeah.
ass kicking, like foul mouth, cigarette smoking.
She was an unstoppable force, and I mean, she it was. It's like it's just like punk rock was. I mean, it's like England when punk became so prevalent in England, it's because. England created it.
And it stopped being punk.
They made it. Well, I mean, they also
yeah.
made it happen.
Right,
I mean, they,
right.
they made it. It's a result of their own, you know, indifference to the lower class.
Yeah.
So.
What is the name of that documentary that is insane? American Hardcore. If
yeah.
you haven't seen that, go check that. It's a great documentary
yeah.
about the hardcore.
Let me
all
Google hardcore
scene.
Right now and
don't,
see what
don't,
comes
don't,
up.
No,
yeah, no.
Don't. Nope.
What?
Yeah. No, so, I mean, can. You know what? It's your computer. You do what you want. I'm not going to argue with it. It's fine. Our story just basically progresses. We see how abusive Galooly is or isn't, like, depending on whose story you believe.
You want to know what a sad sack Jeff Galooly is?
That he has to change his name?
He doesn't. He did, actually. Change his name to Jeff Stone. Oh, I thought you said it because he hasn't
no.
changed his name. He doesn't even have a Wikipedia entry.
Oh. Is that right?
If you click yeah. on Jeff Galooly on Wikipedia, it takes you to Tonya Harding's page.
Yeah.
I've been trying
That's
to,
hilarious.
I've been trying to figure out how old he is.
I feel like, yeah. I mean...
And so now it becomes very easy to figure out how old Tonya Harding is for me.
Right.
Because we were born in the same year. We were both born in 1970. She's like 6 weeks younger than I am.
Okay.
And so if she was four, it was 1974.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
You know? And actually,
sense.
It was probably 1975 because she was born in November. So,
okay.
So But yeah, so I mean, so I can now I can track everything because I know exactly she's the exact same age I am.
So yeah, and I feel like he was. They definitely made it seem like he was older than her.
Oh yeah,
and like super skeezy and creepy, like creeping on this 15-year-old girl at the ice rink. You know, but yeah, so our timeline kind of speeds up.
But I also I got the feeling she was 15. I felt like he was like a senior in high school.
I felt like he was in his 20s
because he was talking about still going to college and the Air Force scholarship and the.
Oh, he was talking.
Yeah,
about that,
so
he?
I don't think it. I mean,
right,
I think
so
he
a
was
a little less skeezy.
I think he was. I got the impression he was a senior and she was probably like a freshman or a sophomore,
incoming freshman, maybe.
Yeah.
Okay. I was like, what was that?
Oh, well, she was 15. She would have been older than that.
She's 15 year old.
There's definitely
timelines are different now.
Let's say more than 4 years.
Yeah,
yeah.
Because I was when I started high school.
I was 13.
I was
13, 14, 14, 15, 15. No,
so 16, 17.
I was. I feel like I was 18 when I graduated 16. High school. It was because I got held back. No, I'm just kidding.
So I was 12. 12,
so
13,
maybe
13, 14, 14, 15, 15. No, I was 13. Yeah. I graduated when I was 17. But I barely made the school deadline. Oh. She probably would have. I was class of 88. With the way that my birthday fell, she was probably 89.
Yeah, I was March of 82. So, I mean, I was right there in the middle. But I'm pretty sure I was 8. I don't know.
But anyway.
Yeah,
but I can't even find the guy's birthday or age on the internet.
That's funny.
I mean, when's the last.
Especially what? This guy.
Yeah.
Like, you figure this guy would have some sort of. But yeah, like, I do like the line where he's. Sebastian, they're doing like the static one shot on him, and he's just like, "I had to change my name because my last name became an adverb, or an adjective." Like, oh,
a verb.
And he's like, "You got galoolied," and he's just like, "I couldn't do it."
I thought it was fascinating though, like how, like you're seeing the story and him doing all these awful things, and when you see him in the present day, like
it's like, he's like Kermit the Frog.
He seems really nice.
Yeah,
yeah.
Well, she even says she's like, "Don't talk.
He'll talk to
him.
To you. He'll
talk himself out of anything."
Yeah.
Which I thought was an interesting line, given, you know, like there's a scene where he goes to her. They split up. He goes to their apartment. He pulls a gun on her. I thought he shot her at one point, but I guess it was just like a ricochet.
I think he shot the car and it ricocheted and hit her almost in the eye.
So she's like, she's sitting in the car. They get pulled over. He pulls the gun on like other occupants in the building.
Right.
And she's like, we get pulled over. All they do, like, I'm sitting there bleeding from my face, and all they do is take the booze and the like two guns out of the car, and that's it, and let us go.
I think also it's because of where they lived.
Also
they
true.
Lived in an area where that probably wasn't an uncommon occurrence.
Yeah, it was probably a. What time is it?
Yeah,
we haven't had one of those in an hour.
Right.
I guess we should. All right. Mm-hmm. And then like as we're going along, like Allison Janney kind of drops out of the picture. Another great line where she's just like, "And where the hell is my story? Like,
right.
I got dropped out of this story, you know?" Yeah. And I thought that was a great line. And then we get to the I like how everybody's like, "Well, here's the part
incident.
Of the here's the part of the story you've all came here to talk about."
The incident.
The incident.
The incident. Ah,
the incident.
And everybody has that.
Yeah. So we talk to, you know, they say that Tanya Harding got a hit put on her. She's like, if Harding skates, two in the back, blah, blah, blah. And this is where like Galooly and Tanya are just like, well, it messed with my head. What if we just do it to Nancy?
Yeah.
And it'll just mess with her head. Like, she'll be messed up and maybe I'll have an
so advantage. Some, well, yeah. Threatening letters.
Threatening letters. And then you've got Fatso, who's just like, well, I need $1,000. We can't send them from here because then they'll track them to us. And I was like, actually, that's the smartest thing you've said.
Yeah.
That's the only smart thing you've said. The postmark.
And
they're just like, okay, let's do it.
Mm-hmm.
And then all of a sudden, Tanya's training for the Olympics. They're all, I think they're in Detroit.
Mm-hmm.
And Galooly is back home. Did they ever say where home was?
Portland?
Oh, Portland. Okay, yeah. And she calls him and she was just like, what the flip, dude. And he was just like, what are you talking about? He's like, turn on the news.
Yeah, what have you
done? And he's just like, I didn't do anything.
Right.
And she was like, it's on every channel, turn on the news. And we find out that Kerrigan had been cracked. They think she cracked her kneecap and it was broke her knee. Like, it was a big to do. And he is just like, oh no. Mm-hmm. Oh my God.
This is not what I signed up for.
Right.
Now, I haven't seen the 30 for 30. Is this accurate? Is this the letter aspect?
They don't mention the letters at all.
Okay.
They never bring that up. Like, it is her story. Like, this is kind of like, because they interview her and they talk to her and they like, but she's the only one they talk. I think they may talk to like Ann Coulter or who's the gal?
Ann Coulter.
Not Ann Coulter.
I was like,
who's the gal? There's two like news women who covered that story.
Ann Curry?
I think it was Ann Curry, but who's the gal who married
Maury Povich?
Yes.
Connie Chung.
So those two they talk to. Connie Chung for sure, where she's just like.
Well, we see her in that post credits interviewing
and she gets
Ding Dong.
And she gets referenced in the Letterman top 10 list,
oh,
too.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Yeah. So they refer, like, it's all of the surrounding people. They don't talk to anybody involved except for her, and of course she's like, I had no idea, like, we were friends, which they kind of reference here,
right,
where they were friends and they're, you know, shotgunning beers and listening to Motley Crue. And I will say the soundtrack for this is great.
It is great.
It's an awesome soundtrack. Two awesome you know, Uses of the Chain by Fleetwood Mac, Guardians, and then this. But if you find like the 30, I think it's on Netflix. If you find it, because yes, I think a lot of those 30 for 30s are on there, and this one is choice. Yeah, so she's just like, you know, now the feds are getting involved and the quote unquote bodyguard is just like, we got him on the run. Like, we're going to outsmart them all and they're never going to catch us. And he opens the door. Sean, that's his name. And he's the feds are just like, are you Sean so-and-so? And he was just like, no. And then his mom's in the background like, hey, Shawnee, who's at the door? Yeah. He was just like, oh, you're killing me, Ma. And it all starts to break down. Like, this is the story we've seen a million times.
He caves instantly.
Well, he's also like, he's like, I swear I didn't tell anybody. But then there's a montage of him telling everybody.
Right, yeah.
He was involved with it. And this is the story that we've seen where, you know, Tanya is at the airport. And she's actually, she's winning. And she's, like, on pace to be, possibly win this gold medal. And then it all falls to shit.
Yeah.
So the feds are interview both of them, and they're both kind of like, I don't know what you're talking about. But we, like, Jeff finds out first that Sean had something to do with the club. And he was just like, who do you think sent the death threat to Tanya? And he was just like, what?
Yeah. And then she's like, I control everything.
Oh my God. That's
I'm so
that
smart.
That scene in the kitchen is wonderful.
Yeah.
It's so funny.
It's like when you realize
such a loser.
The true degree of his insanity.
Yeah. Right. And then I do like, actually, I like it when they're, because the only version, I'd only seen that guy in the trench coat. And then you see him in the trench coat in the movie, like sitting in the back of the car. And I was like, man, that dude looks just like that guy. Like, it's uncanny.
Yeah.
And basically the movie, I mean, goes on the timeline that we know it's going to go down, where she is. I didn't realize she was banned forever.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I did not realize that at all. And that was a really, everybody's sentenced to jail. They all get time except for her. She gets like
community service
probation or something.
And
she's banned.
And that's honestly the harshest.
Yeah.
And you can see it on her face.
She's like, oh, send me to jail. Yeah. She's like, I'll do 18 months. Like,
yeah.
That's fine. As long as I can skate. And I was just like, man, that does.
It sucks.
Like, there's some passion there. And as crazy as you are, or as unreliable as you are, like, I can't fault you for loving the sport, you know, and wanting to be part of the sport.
I think it's interesting that, like, so as the movie wraps up, we see, like, we get this the standard, like, here's what they're doing now.
Right.
She, like, runs, like, a lawnscaping business.
It's interesting. Yeah, she was all over the place for a while.
Yeah, she did, like, celebrity boxing.
Which they reference in this.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah.
She's boxing at the end of this.
I mean, you know, she's kind of, like, got to a point where, like, she has a family now.
Yeah.
But,
I mean, the part at the end where she's, like, and she's a really good mother.
She wants everyone
she
to
wants
know
everyone
that she's
to know
a really
good
mother.
Yeah.
Right. But I find it interesting that, like, you would think that she could make a living, if nothing else, teaching ice skating.
I think that might be part of the banishment.
But I mean, you can't. There's tons of kids that want to learn ice skating that aren't going to be in the Olympics.
But I wonder if that's true.
You know what I mean?
That's fair. Yeah.
Like, you would think she could have something, or, you know, like, she could. She couldn't actually take a kid and represent, but she could teach them, and then that kid could go on and
do
something.
Right. It's interesting because at Scottrade, when I worked there, we used to have those competitions, not competitions, but like where they would basically put these people on a show.
Right.
You know, and Chrissy Yamaguchi was there.
It was like Smucker's Stars on Ice.
Yeah, basically. Yeah. And it was all, you know, whoever the guy is that's the commentator now, the bald guy, the little bald guy.
Paul Giamatti.
Not Paul Giamatti. Who? What am I thinking of?
I know who you're thinking of. That.
Scott.
Yeah.
Anyway, like, it's those guys. Like, he's the guy that can do little back. The little bald guy. He could do a backflip. It's great.
He was like, he's fantastic, too.
Yeah, he gets super excited when
it's
the...
It's not Brian Boitano. It's...
But what would he do, Dan?
Scott...
What would Brian Boitano do?
I don't know.
He'd probably do... He'd probably kick an ass or two, mm-hmm. is what I'm thinking. Nothing?
Scott Hamilton.
Thank you.
Yes.
Yes. Scott Hamilton.
He just had... He took a shot.
Yeah, so they would, but I don't think Kerrigan does those. Like, even that's the other. But I also think
I know some people who've dealt with Nancy Kerrigan, and yeah,
I think her husband's loaded.
She's not,
if I remember right.
Right,
she was not
the
that
easiest
was not
person
a,
to deal with.
Not a fun weekend for them.
Yeah, well, from what I've heard.
Yeah,
you know, and it's Tanya got in front of this. She made. I mean, they had to pay her for that 30 for 30. They had to pay her for this movie. Mm-hmm. Like, it's her story. Yeah. They can't not pay her.
Well, and I also think ultimately, it's like really what she wants to remind people is that
she was good.
She was really good.
Yeah.
And the movie, it closes with her entire performance.
Yes.
Like, you see her, you know, and it was, and I thought, and maybe all ice skating looks like this. I don't know, but I have a feeling it probably doesn't. But like, she would take off with such power. Like, it looked,
oh, man,
it looked like they, when she was spinning in the air,
mm-hmm.
it looked like they had sped it up.
Yeah.
Like, I mean, like, I was like, at first I was like, did they speed that up? And then I realized that, like, she could, she would just propel with that much force.
Mm-hmm. So she had, I'm not going to say she had like tree trunk legs, but she had,
that was the other thing, because she didn't. I'm not saying that she wasn't in shape, but like, when people, like, you know, sometimes disparagingly talk about like the Venus and Serena Williams and how
those
muscular
women.
They are, and like, and they, but she didn't look like that. She
she did not have the traditional build of a figure skater,
right?
But that was her advantage. Like,
she was good.
She had so much power in her legs,
yeah,
that she could do this. You know, she could go faster and propel herself higher.
Mm-hmm.
She's just a little crazy.
Well, you know? I mean, she's just not. She didn't fit the mold.
She didn't fit the mold.
Yeah, I don't even know that I'd say she's crazy. She's just blue collar.
Yeah, absolutely.
I mean, she says she's a redneck. And she's proud of it.
She's never said anything.
Yeah, but it's like, yeah, she's, I mean.
But the last scene is her getting punched in the face, and like, she falls on the mat, and she's, the line is actually a pretty, I wish I could remember what it was, but like, she's bleeding from the mouth, and she stands up, and there's blood, there's a big old splotch of blood on the mat, and she gets back up.
Yeah.
And I was like, yeah, that's Tanya Harding. Like,
she gets back up.
She always gets back up. But yeah, we talked about what we were going to do this week, because there's nothing out.
Right.
And I figured this was a good one.
It is.
It was.
And it's one that I think, you know, it feels like people are missing.
I feel like it got a small release.
I think, I know, as I'm in the St. Louis Film Critics Association.
Excuse me.
I'm just saying that I think they screwed up because we didn't get screeners.
Right.
Which is insane.
I don't think if they screened it, was like at the last minute. Like,
this movie doesn't fit the mold.
Yeah. Right. I mean, they really did themselves a disservice, because this is a really good movie.
Really good.
It's a
I don't know why they didn't get more aggressive with getting it out to the critics organization.
It's funny. It is one of those movies where it's like, you don't have to know or like or care.
Yeah.
About any of the, like, I don't care about ice skating.
Yeah.
No, ice skating is like so far in the outfield for this movie that it's not even a thing.
That is a mixed metaphor,
you
if
like
I've
that?
Ever heard one.
Yeah,
yeah.
I was actually just thinking, like, I feel like they don't make sports movies anymore. Like,
they do?
I feel like there was that run in like the mid to late 80s and the early 90s.
It wasn't that long ago. We got 42.
That's true.
We just got a boxing movie.
It's a roller coaster. I think it's up and down.
Southpaw, which wasn't bad. I liked it.
And we got that other like Creed. True story Moxie movie about
Bleed for this, or the what's the kid that we all like that never gets a good role?
Yeah,
Miles Teller.
Yeah,
well, had one, but there was another boxing movie about like a real life boxer, like, crap, the guy that like fought Sugar Ray Leonard a bunch. He's like from the Dominican Republic.
Oh,
or something.
We got the boxer.
Yeah, so
that was good.
Yeah,
I think it's a 5-year cycle.
Yeah, yeah. I take that. Okay, so we haven't gotten a good hockey or baseball movie. How about that? there's been a while since we've had one of those.
I'll be honest. It's because baseball. We've had enough good.
There's some wonderful
baseball movies
that are
consistently
movies.
Elevated to almost mythology.
Right.
And I think we've got enough good ones of that.
Yeah.
It's
we've got some good ones.
Where
but
you
there
land
are
on Field of Dreams, you know, it's like, it's a little like, sometimes I'm like,
it's a Hallmark movie, but it's a really good one.
It's a really good Hallmark movie.
But
yeah. And The Natural, which
the natural,
I absolutely
Natural's
love.
Amazing.
Yeah.
Yeah. Major League. Bull Durham.
Major League. Screw you, Joe Boo.
Eight Men Out.
Yeah.
Eight Men Out's a wonderful
But I mean, like, we've got so many.
Also, with Eight Men Out, just back up real quick, just if you ever see it and you want to dig down on that story, trust me on this. Don't rent the porn parody.
God. I'm trying to figure out how that would work, but all right. Yeah.
I love when I make him laugh and I get the maraca.
Because I'm like trying not to think about it. I'm like, wow, okay.
I was like, is there some? Nope.
Lots of honey.
Interesting.
There's lots of honey.
Okay.
Yeah.
I didn't expect that.
Yeah.
All right.
So
old honey pot.
Yeah.
So good.
Like,
everybody in this movie is amazing.
I agree. Yes. The baseball is beyond. Yeah. But yeah, there is not a bad performance in this
movie.
Like
this
movie, with the exception of maybe the coach, who is just barely
she
in it,
plays,
but she plays the role
I,
the way
I
she's,
think, I mean,
oh, I thought
yeah.
she was, yeah.
I think,
yeah. But every man,
and not, and, you know, she's indifferent and she is sort of holding true to a lot of, you know, what the other, you know, like judges are, but she does let her in a little.
What I like about that coach is that
the first coach.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Is that there's two ways to approach the kind of persnickety-ness mm-hmm. of ice skating, of figure skating.
Yeah.
And so the judges are
super,
judgmental.
Yes.
Right?
Fair enough. Yep.
You know, you should be this way, and mm-hmm. you're wrong if you're not.
Right.
Where the coach is like, is the sweet version of that.
Yeah.
She's on her
yes. side.
She's like your life will be easier and
yes.
you will get farther and you will be more successful
yes.
and ultimately you will be happier if you do this.
Yes.
If you play along with this and you make some better decisions and you know, yeah, you think that's sweet and cheesy, but at the end of the day, I'm the one who has the house with a living room.
I do. Yeah, I like
right?
where she,
I mean,
right.
that's a line in the movie, you know.
Yeah.
And so I think that, you know, and I don't mean to only define success by wealth,
but
there's a difference between wealth and abject poverty.
There's also
right.
it's yeah. I do she comes back into it like Tanya fires that coach and
right.
she comes back and this is the time when they were changing it from every 4 years to every 2 years.
They do
years.
Yes. It's every four, but it's like but
two in the summer,
staggered.
Two in the winter.
It's yeah. staggered. So
right.
yeah, and
you get
so,
them all the time, basically.
And so every 2 years or
so, she had a shot.
Yeah, so she gets this lucky break.
Right.
Yeah.
And I do like where she's like, you lose the electric blue nail polish, no heavy metal.
Yeah.
And we're in. And she was like,
yeah. I still wanted to
and
be
of course
like
this coach, her version of heavy metal is Foreigner, but whatever.
I know. I still, I still wanted Tanya Hart to be like, ZZ Top is not heavy metal.
Yeah, I'm like,
it's Southern blues rock.
Well, okay.
It's also interesting to watch Margot Robbie's career, right? Like, she killed it in The Wolf of Wall Street, and
uh-huh.
she looked banging.
She killed it in the Big Short.
She's the only good part of Suicide Squad.
Only good part of Suicide Squad.
Only good part of Suicide Squad.
And she actually looks like she could pull out like this Dundee remake. I don't know how I feel about it yet.
It's not a thing.
It's 3 minutes, so
it's not a real thing.
It's an
Australian
right?
tourism thing. It's a viral thing, and then the payoff is in the Super Bowl commercial.
It's a three. Although, it's a 3-minute movie.
It's
I gotta
getting
tell
so much buzz.
I
they
know,
might turn
like,
it into.
So when
maybe
I saw,
we should have done this.
When I saw, him,
I can say when I saw
I
that.
Like,
when I saw that first teaser trailer, I was like,
not?
"This doesn't suck." I don't
yeah.
get what the
as
vitriol.
A reminder, I mean, those two movies. Well, I didn't even see the third one.
Yeah,
because I realized
oh,
I was like, "Oh,
there
is
a third
one."
Yeah,
yeah, but those two movies are not good.
No, they're
yeah.
not good. They're fun.
They're not. They're fun.
Well, they don't
the
hold up.
The first one's
well.
Fun. The second
oh, really?
One was like even not. I'm like,
I think
what
you're
is?
Forgetting. The first one has a very large gag about him.
Yeah.
With yeah. the. With what we would now call transgender.
Oh yeah, no, it's
oh
yeah.
it does.
Where he like reaches up under dress.
She's
oh,
a
hey. Yeah.
yeah, no, it's
Hogan.
All like I mean.
So I totally thought that was a movie, And the fact that I was
that's what they were going for.
Uh-huh. But, right, right.
Yeah.
But I thought it was going to be a thing.
Yeah.
And I was just like, Hemsworth, Margot Robbie, mm-hmm. Hugh Jackman.
Like, I kind of dig it.
Russell Crowe. Sign me up for this. Like,
yeah.
Well, I might now.
I think they spent their budget just for that.
Those,
but,
yeah.
No, I we'll see. Yeah.
So,
you know.
But her career is impressive.
Absolutely.
Like, she's yet to miss.
She's great. And she's more than just good looking.
Yes. Yeah. I don't know what her chances are.
Did she get nominated for Best Actress?
Yeah.
Okay.
And I don't know what her chances are.
She's going up against that gal from Stupid Shape of Water.
Anyway, Sally Yates, very good. But she's, I mean, I this is one of those things where it's like, even the nomination is impressive. The nomination is well deserved. She
Absolutely.
Is so good in this movie.
Absolutely.
And it's one of those things. It's like when we saw Charlize play
in Monster.
Yeah.
It's like, and I know it's like sort of like, oh, the pretty girl gets
pretty girl goes on
is ugly.
Yeah.
No, this is amazing acting.
There were moments where I was like, she's even a little too pretty. Like, Margot Robbie is.
If you look at Tanya Harding back in the day, she was good looking. I thought.
Oh,
yeah.
She's no Katarina Vitt.
So, Dan, do you have a video recovery for
Christy
us?
Yamaguchi.
All right, fair enough.
Yeah. So, it was, as I was trying to think of, like, sort of, like, spiritual biopics.
Right.
Because I was like, I could go down the sports path, but like really a movie that I think sort of encapsulates sort of the energy and fun of a biopic like this, where breaking the fourth wall and sort of like breaking convention. And it's the, because I was like, God, how old is that movie? It's like that from 2003 already, American Splendor.
Oh,
okay.
Wow.
About Harvey Pekar.
Yeah.
It stars Paul Giamatti. And due to Friedlander.
I accidentally almost ruined your video recovery.
Oh, did you?
Made a Paul Giamatti reference.
Well, yeah. And I was like, ooh. And it's a movie about our cartoonist, Harvey Pekar, and he had
he's a dirtbag.
He is. And he's got issues. But this movie, it's a great, way to like make an entertaining movie and also be a biopic and also like break the fourth wall and also actually involve the real people. If you haven't seen it, it's one of those ones that was like a little $2 million movie. Yeah. It kind of took off and gained a lot of traction.
I think this
huge.
Is what really kind of took Paul Giamatti to the next level.
Oh yeah, this one
flew under the radar, and then mainstream comic people were like, "You need to check this out,"
right.
And then that.
Yeah.
Nailed it.
And Harvey Pekar comes out of the same, you know, I mean, you've got Robert Crumb and Daniel
Clowes.
He's
a dirtbag. Well,
and if you haven't seen his
it's
documentary,
it's
fascinating and sad. And it's but this one is less so. But I mean, they come from the same sort of like,
cats.
Well, the whole 70s, 80s, 70s, 80s,
like independent comics,
indie comic scene. And it's just one of those movies that you can just watch it and enjoy it, and whether you're into it or not, you know,
you don't need to like the subject matter to like the
movie.
Or the double feature is Ghost World.
Yeah. So you don't have to like anything about what you're watching to not enjoy it. And that's the first. For some reason, it was like that's the movie that came to mind.
Right, I get that.
When I was watching this, it was just because of the
style.
Audience interaction.
Yeah,
you know,
it's good.
So
good
it's
call.
Worth checking out.
Well, thank you, Dan.
Yeah,
I guess let's go around the table and everyone can say where to find them. Quickly.
This is Dan,
because I have to pee.
Yeah, well, I'm dying here. This is Dan. You can find me on Twitter, Dan Graney 67, GRANEY.
This is Joe. You can also follow me on the Twitter at Joey Butts, BUTTS 21.
This is Tom. You can follow me on Twitter at Roger Kubert or on Facebook at Facebook.com/Tom O'Keefe. You can find the show online at Facebook.com/Real Spoilers. So that's it for this episode. Coming up on the next one, we are going to go dig back into the 0% project with Megaforce.
Dan's not allowed to pick movies anymore.
You've been warned.
Here we go. But I'm not dumb and no. I got the funk flow to make the jaw drop slow. So recognize size and stock in our jeans. I wear 13s, know what I mean? I walk around and hit you with the Hennessy. Miss around and go blind, don't get to see. The next batter, here to shatter. You better, it doesn't matter. Skinny or fat boy, light skin or black baby, I drop these. Tariqa mommy screaming, I poppy. I love it when they call me Big Papa. I only smoke blunts if they roll proper. Look, I gotcha. Caught up with the drug flow.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Need new glasses or want a fresh new style? Warby Parker has you covered. Glasses start at just $95, including anti-reflective, scratch-resistant prescription lenses that block 100% of UV rays. Every frame's designed in-house, with a huge selection of styles for every face shape. And with Warby Parker's free home try-on program, you can order 5 pairs to try at home for free. Shipping is free both ways, too. Go to warbyparker.com/covered to try 5 pairs of frames at home for free. warbyparker.com/covered.